This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue today to talk about the discernment of spirits. We live in the midst of a spiritual battle, a spiritual conflict in our lives, and St. Ignatius and the wisdom of the Church brings to us through the saints can help us live more effectively and do battle against the enemy and his strategies against us. I want to talk today about the rules of spiritual discernment that St. Ignatius gives us. If you want to know more about the topic, let me just give you right off the bat a couple of good books to recommend. One's called The Discernment of Spirits, An Ignatian Guide for Everyday Living by Father Timothy Gallagher. That's Father Timothy Gallagher, The Discernment of Spirits, An Ignatian Guide for Everyday Living. You can find that at your local Catholic bookstore. You can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Another good book that not too many people know about, it's not as popular, let me put it that way, as Father Tim's books, but a writer who had a big impact on Father Tim is Father Jules Toner, a book called Commentary on St. Ignatius's Rules of the Discernment of Spirits. Let me say that again. Commentary on St. Ignatius's Rules for the Discernment of Spirits. Father Gallagher's book is written in a little more of a popular style, but both books are excellent and both of them are worth working through because they take apart the rules for the discernment of spirits that are given to us in the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. And for years, I've been applying these to my life and thinking through these and praying through these, and they've been an immense and important help to me as I've been trying to live out my life in the Lord. Because remember, we're living in the midst of a spiritual battle. And one thing that was very clear to Ignatius was the reality of the devil and the devil's strategies that are set against us. As I read yesterday, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. Yesterday's program is archived there. I was reading from the teaching of Jesus on the reality of the devil, the teaching of St. Paul from Ephesians, St. Peter. All the apostles are very much aware that they're living in the midst of a spiritual battle. Unfortunately, in our time, there's a denial of the reality of the devil. To ignore the devil is foolish. To be preoccupied with the devil and, you know, assuming or feeling and living with a kind of paranoia like the devil is around every corner, that's also a big mistake. We don't have to, if you're baptized, if you're walking in the light, if you're not living in mortal sin, repenting of your sins and regularly receiving the sacraments, living in the church, you don't need to be afraid of the work of the devil. As Jesus said to the apostles himself, he said, the devil's coming after me, but the devil has no hold on me. So don't be afraid. We don't need to be afraid. We just need to be in the Lord. We need to be awake. We need to be alert. But we also need to resist. We can't be passive, St. Peter said, in the face of the enemy's attacks. Paul VI, way back in 1972, addressed the issue of the devil at a time when many voices began to emerge that denied the reality of the devil, that the devil wasn't real. It was just a way of describing how bad things happen to people, whatever it is. Here's what he said. He said, what are the church's greatest needs at the present time? Don't be surprised at our answer, and don't write it off as simplistic or even superstitious. One of the church's greatest needs is to be defended against the evil we call the devil. He couldn't be more clear of the reality. So one of the fundamental needs is to be protected against the work of the enemy. And I want to just read what he says in summary about what he calls man's fatal tempter. He said, there are many things we do know, however, that is about the devil, about this diabolical world, things that touch our lives and on the whole history of mankind. The devil is at the origin of man's first misfortune. He was the wily, fatal tempter involved in the first sin, the original sin. That fall of Adam gave the devil a certain dominion over man, from which only Christ's redemption can free us. It is a history that is still going on today. Let us recall the exorcisms at baptism and the frequent references in sacred scripture and in the liturgy to the aggressive and oppressive power of darkness. The devil is the number one enemy, the preeminent tempter. He goes on, so we know that this dark, disturbing being exists. and that he is still at work with his treacherous cunning. He's the hidden enemy who sows errors and misfortunes in human history. It is worth recalling the revealing gospel parable of the good seed and the cockle, for it synthesizes and explains the lack of logic that seems to preside over our contradictory experiences. An enemy has done this. He is a murderer from the beginning, the father of lies, as Christ defines him. He undermines man's moral equilibrium with his sophistry. He is the malign, clever seducer who knows how to make his way into us through the senses, the imagination, and the libido, through the utopian logic and through disordered social contacts in the give and take of our activities, so that he can bring about in us deviations that are all the more harmful because they seem to conform to our physical and mental makeup or to our profound and instinctive aspirations. Couldn't be more clear. Again, he said, the devil is the number one enemy and the preeminent tempter. What St. Ignatius did in his Rules for the Discernment of Spirits, building on what the Lord himself revealed to him. As I mentioned yesterday, as Ignatius was convalescing from his war injury, got his leg just shattered by a cannonball, and it was a long convalescence, a complicated one. And one of the things that he would do is he would spend his time reading, and he would read books about becoming, he loved the idea of being a war hero, just living a heroic and a great life. And he would read books that would inspire him, and he would think about it for very long hours. But then a friend brought him, as I said yesterday, some spiritual reading, books about Jesus, about the saints. And as he began to read those books, and over time, he began to notice something. He described it this way, it was described this way in his memoirs. He said that there was a difference between the effect that the various books produced on him. Those that were about worldly concerns excited him for a time, but it quickly faded. Those that were about the saints and about the Lord and living for the Lord would excite him, but the excitement or the joy or the experience of being built up by them and inspired by them would last for a longer period of time. And in his memoirs, it reads this way. It said, he did not notice this, however, nor did he stop to ponder the distinction until the time when his eyes were opened a little. His eyes were opened a little. Who opened his eyes? God. God opened Ignatius's eyes to the movements of the spiritual realm in his life and the impact that the diverse spirits, either the spirit of God and the spirits of the kingdom of God or the spirit of the enemy and the enemies and those who are enslaved in service to the enemy, the impact they would have on him. So let me read it again. He did not notice this, however, nor did he stop to ponder the distinction until the time when his eyes were opened a little bit. And he began to marvel at the difference and to reflect upon it, realizing from the experience that some thoughts left him sad. Others left him joyful. Little by little, he came to recognize the difference between the spirits that were stirring, one from the devil and the other from God. So this is the basis of Ignatius's Rules for the Discernment of Spirits. He began to experience, and the Lord gave him the grace to be able to perceive the movements of the various forces, kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light, on his life, on his imagination, on his emotions, on his intellect, and his life. So what I'd like to do is just begin today to look at the various rules and try to explain them, and hopefully they can be of help to you. I wanted to do this, one, to encourage your listeners, to hopefully build you up and to strengthen you in the battle, give you lots of confidence in God, but also to spark your interest so that you'd go out and buy Father Tim's book or Father Jules Toner's book to go deeper. Talk to a spiritual director or your pastor about it, because I think it's very important for us to understand what the devil's strategies are against us so we can resist them, and we can learn the Lord's strategies so we can cooperate with them. Let me begin by just saying first, there's a couple of key steps in thinking about how we ought to perceive and respond to these spiritual movements that happen within us. First, we need to develop an awareness, to be aware of the thoughts and the thoughts that are in our mind and heart and how those thoughts impact us. What are the things, what are the thoughts that are in my heart that are impacting me one way or another? That's step number one. Step number two is we need to learn to understand their spiritual significance. So number one, be aware of the various movements and the things that are impacting us. Number two, understand the spiritual significance of what those particular voices or particular experiences are within us. And then finally, step three is to take action. So be aware, understand, and take action. Now, when we talk about taking action, remember what St. Peter said, resist the devil. So if what I'm experiencing, and I discern what I'm experiencing, is from the work of the enemy, what do? I reject it immediately and resist it. And Ignatius is going to give us some principles and things we need to do, some concrete, practical steps that we need to take when we sense the presence of the enemy and his work on us and how it's impacting our emotions, our mind. So resist. If we discern and experience the Lord, obviously, working on us, what do? We receive it. We accept it. So the posture is being awake and alert, understanding that we're in the midst of a spiritual conflict, and we need to be aware of what's impacting us. We need to work and labor to understand it and then to respond appropriately, one way or the other. So the first rule for the discernment of spirits is this. Is a person, it's directed to, first, a person who's moving, who's in mortal sin and moving away from God. He began there because what Ignatius wanted us to see is that depending upon where we are, in one of two categories, either we are a person who's in mortal sin and moving away from God, or we're someone who is turned away from mortal sin is moving toward God. The devil and, you know, the good spirit and the bad spirit respond differently or act differently or act upon the person differently depending upon which category that you're in. So he begins with rule number one. And this applies to a person who's in mortal sin and moving away from God and towards serious sin. What the enemy will do is he's simply going to propose to our imagination more and more of the same, to stimulate our imagination to sensual delights, to passions for the things of the world, and to keep us away from God and the thought of God, and keep us addicted to sin, essentially. So he's going to stimulate our imagination. And the Lord, on the other hand, the Spirit, Ignatius said, stings the conscience to help us turn back to God. So we're going to have a different experience. Ignatius tells us that the enemy is going to just fill our imagination with more of the same. Delights of the flesh. You know, to keep pursuing whatever it is that our flesh desires, to keep us moving and keep us in a condition of slavery. So with ease, we stay in the mortal sin because we feel like almost within ourselves, there's a constant, almost constant flood of new ideas and attraction to lower things. On the other hand, the good spirit pricks our conscience. Do good, avoid evil, turn from sin, giving us appropriate guilt, hopefully, to get our conscience to move us to change. So the spirits act in contrary ways. They act in opposite ways. So that's rule number one. So we just have a few seconds left in the program, and we'll continue tomorrow to take up rule number two, which is just the contrary to this one. But as we go through this week, I'd encourage you to begin to do what Ignatius exhorts us to do, is to become more aware in the quiet of our own hearts and in prayer of the movement of the spirits in our life. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789 or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.